Thank you, Julie, Brian, team. You guys did a great job. Good morning. Happy New Year to you. Hope you guys had a great New Year celebration, and looks like some of you had some resolutions because this room's packed out. No, it's good to see you, even if that's the reason. It's good to see you. Really, good decision. Hey, let me just first of all say, let me just clarify this. When I say Happy New Year, I know you guys probably heard, you know, Happy New Year. You've heard that a bunch of times yesterday and today, but I gotta say, we really do hope and pray that this is a great year for each of you. I really do. I hope and pray that for each of us, that this really will be our greatest year to date. And what I mean by that, what I mean when I say great year, I don't mean pain-free year. I don't mean a year where everything just goes the way you want it to go necessarily, or any of those things. I think what will make this a great year for each of us is that this would be a year where we can look back a year from now and say, wow, you know what, this past year, I lived with a greater intentionality of keeping my ears open to what God is saying to me in my life. I lived with greater intentionality of hearing God's voice in my life, and my obedience factor was higher this past year than it's ever been. And instead of you know, God telling me to do something and arguing with him for 3 weeks, I only argued 1 week this year. It got better, you know, thank God. So anyway, no, that is our hope and prayer. I think no matter what happens in our lives, if we can look back and say, you know what, this was a year I really heard God's voice, and I obeyed him, and sure, I made a lot of mistakes. I maybe didn't do these things too super well, but I grew, and I took steps forward in my journey. That's our prayer for you. And I think if that occurs, that'll be a beautiful year for all of us. So that is our prayer. And hey, we have a chance to actually open our ears right now and to really ask God, God, what are you saying to me? We have a very special guest with us today, a friend of mine named Jeannie Stevens. Some of you might remember Jeannie and Jarrett were with us a few months ago. They recently planted a church and started a church in downtown Chicago in the West Loop neighborhood. In fact, if you have friends who live in the West Loop, you need to send them to Soul City Church. It's a great church. And I had a chance to go recently and experience what God was doing there. So Jeannie's with us today, and I really do believe she has something to share with us and something that God's going to use her, I think, to say some great things to us. So would you give a warm Orchard welcome to Jeannie Stevens today? Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Thank you.
Bless you.
Well, I would like to join in on the bandwagon of wishing you a happy new year. It's great to be with you, and it's so fun to be back at the Orchard. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. And I'm curious, how many of you are the resolution-making type? You like when the new year comes around? Let me see a show of hands. None of you? You all came back to church, okay? So I know you're resolution-making type of people. So yeah, so there's a few of us that are admitting that we like to make New Year's resolutions. And of those of you in the room that actually like to make New Year's resolutions, how many of them included something with your health, your finances, or your relationships? Yeah, those are the big three. Those are the ones that we tend to say, you know, this is the year I'm going to get out of debt, or this is the year I'm going to finally lose those 10 pounds, or this is the year I'm going to make that relationship right. Yeah, how many of you have already broken the one about health? Yeah, that's the easiest one to break, right? Yeah, I mean, not all of us tend to be the resolution-making type of people, but a lot of us love to see progress. A lot of us love to see when we make a plan and it gets accomplished, or when we have a desire and we actually see that desire come to fruition. You know, we like to see things happen, don't we? In fact, what I'd love for you to do real quick is turn to a person around you, and I want you to think through this past year. Think through 2010, and I want you to think about one thing. It could be something very simple, but one thing that you set out to do and you accomplished it. I mean, it can be as simple as like, I was going to have a garage sale in July and I actually did the garage sale. Like, it can be something that simple. It could be, you know, I promised that I was going to, you know, take my son to an NBA basketball game and I did it. I took him to the game, or whatever it is, you know. So one thing that you set out to do and you accomplished it. Okay, so tell the person next to you real quick, what is that one thing? All right. it probably felt good. Probably felt good to accomplish something, right? I mean, it's in our nature. We want to see progress, don't we? It's funny, we had a couple over for dinner on New Year's Eve, and they're dating, and, you know, they're in that, like, close to getting engaged kind of phase. And so we asked them, you know, like, do you guys like to make resolutions? Is this something that you like to do, you know, or trying to get to know them a little bit more? And it was hilarious. I mean, she literally was like, yes, ready to go. Like, she had a notebook. She had them numbered out. Like, here's my resolutions. There was, like, addendums to her resolutions. At the end, there was, like, a footnote section. I mean, it was, like, clear. She had a plan for 2011. And I turned to the guy, and I was like, so do you like to make resolutions? And he's like, never made one in my life. And I was like, okay, we're going to be doing some premarital counseling together. And so, you know, there are some of us that really love to do that. And there's others of us that, you know, not so much. But I think every single one of us, we enjoy the process of dreaming and planning and hoping for something. In fact, about 6 years ago, some friends of ours, we went to New York City for the weekend and, you know, sort of planned this great weekend. We were going to spend, you know, a weekend in Manhattan and go see some shows and go out to dinner. And we were walking around in Manhattan one afternoon. It was right around this time of the year, and it was really cold. And so we, you know, found a little cafe to get into. And so it was called Cafe Europa. And we went in there, and we just grabbed, you know, like some cocoa and some coffee to warm up. And we said, you know, let's just sit here for a minute. Well, it was one of those conversations, and maybe you've had these kinds of moments with a group of friends or with somebody that's important to you, where somebody just sort of pops up in the conversation and says, you know, I've always dreamed about writing a book. We're all like, really, you have? I had no idea that you've dreamed about doing that. And so this person started talking a little bit more about it, and they were like, yeah, I've always wanted to do it. Here's what it would be about. And, you know, this is what I've always hoped, and I've always prayed. I've always thought, you know, like, maybe one day in my life I would write a book. And then somebody else was like, well, you know, I've always had this dream that I was going to do this. And the conversation very quickly turned to these dreams and these plans and these hopes and these, like, big audacious things that we hoped would happen in our lives. And somewhere in the middle of the conversation, somebody grabbed, like, a napkin on the table, and we found a pen from our waitress, and we started writing them down. We started saying, okay, if we're going to really do these things, like, we've got to put some action to this. We've got to put some plan to these dreams in our lives. And so we sort of wrote down all these things, and we said, you know, let's get together next year and let's see how we did at our Europa plans. And so for the last 6 years, we've been getting together with this same couple right around this time of year, and we call them Remember Europa because that was the name of the cafe. And we sit down and we talk about the things that we had set out in life that we want to do. And we share with one another, here's how we're doing, here's what happened, here's what didn't happen, here's why we think it didn't happen, you know, here's what we're gonna re-up and do again. And we all sort of have this desire, don't we, for something new to happen. I mean, we love the start of a new year because it's fresh. It's, you know, we've never been in 2011 before and we're done with 2010. We like something new. Or maybe you love when it's your birthday because, you know, now, you know, you've got a whole new year in front of you, or a new experience, or maybe when you move to a new home or you get a new job, or maybe you're the kind of person that you start a new diet every single Sunday, you know, and then Sunday at like 3 o'clock, you're like, next week, next Sunday, that will be it, you know? And we love something new. We love the freshness. We love the restart of something. And I believe that is because God created us for the new. He created us for the new. In fact, all throughout the scripture is this metaphor of God taking what is old and turning it into what is new. And 2010's resolutions, those are old resolutions. Nobody would want to go back up and do those again. We want new ones. Or your plans from this past year, those are old plans. We want new plans. Or last week's plans, the things that you intended for. Well, you don't want those. You want this week's plans. We're drawn to the new. And oftentimes, though, in order for there to be something new, something has to be old. And that old oftentimes has to die. Because new things emerge when old things die. And the process of setting resolutions is actually a really healthy process. God created us this way. He created us to long for change. He created us to long for growth. He created us to move towards the new. But very rarely do true, lasting, transformational things come from the setting of resolutions. Because resolutions are just goals. They're just plans. But what God called us towards is he actually called us to transformation. He didn't call us to resolution. He called us to transformation. He called us to become the people that he originally intended us to be. And becoming the people that God intends us to be oftentimes doesn't happen in the way that we think it's going to happen, does it? This process of transformation very rarely happens by saying, you know, this Sunday I'm going to do this thing for the next 7 days, or this is the year that I am going to do this thing and then it's going to happen. You know, we could all set out and say, like, okay, this year, finally, this is going to be the year I'm going to lose those 15 pounds, and you could work extra hard and you could discipline yourself and you could get those 15 pounds off your body, and at the end you could still be the exact same person if you never invited Jesus into the process. You may have made a resolution, but you might not actually be transformed. You may say, you know, this is the year I'm going to get out of debt. I'm going to start saving. I'm going to actually, you know, steward my resources in a way that God actually wants me to steward my resources. And you could do the work and you could set the agendas and you could have the plans and you could get out of debt and your finances could look entirely different, but you aren't transformed because you never invited Jesus into the process. There's all sorts of change and there's all sorts of renewal that happens in the world, but until we invite Jesus into the process, we're not truly transformed. We're not truly who God intends us to be. And oftentimes the process of transformation, as I said, it happens in ways that we didn't go looking for. In fact, if you were to comb through your life, if you were to look at your life up until this point, if you were to see the things that have actually happened, the ways that you've most been transformed are probably through things that you wish hadn't had happened. Oftentimes it's through pain. Oftentimes it's through something difficult. Oftentimes it's through loss. Oftentimes it's through something that you would not have put yourself in, but when you look back on your life, you go, because of that thing that happened, I would not have planned it that way, but I'm an entirely different person because of that thing. You think about the loss of a job, maybe. You think about the death of a loved one. You think about brokenness in a relationship. You think about the birth of a child. You think about finally getting free from an addiction. You think about maybe a conflict that you were in. You think about a broken marriage. All of those things, transformational moments, that if we allow them to be yielded towards God, they can bring transformation in our lives. And when we look back on our lives, it's oftentimes in those moments when the most amount of change comes. It's not through just on January 1st that change starts to come. It's when a transformational moment occurs and we actually allow God to be invited into that moment, to bring about change in our life. And those moments, they're often messy, and they require great amounts of honesty and authenticity. Very rarely are those moments like up and to the right, and that's how most of us want our lives to be, right? We want our lives to be like how we want our bank account to look. But if we're really honest, oftentimes the messiness of that feels like we're more in cycles instead of just an up and to the right kind of chart. Sometimes it produces more questions in our lives instead of answers. Very rarely do spiritual band-aids tend to help those situations. But it's an open invitation for us to walk into transformation. And transformation is essential to us becoming the people that God created us to be. You think about a butterfly, right? And we haven't seen many of these because they're all cocooning away because it's so cold out, right? But you think about a butterfly. We all know that a butterfly didn't start out as a butterfly, right? It started out as this inching little caterpillar. And we know that that inching little caterpillar had to find itself into a cocoon one day, right? And it was in the cocoon, in the shedding of the old, that God allowed the birthing of a new. And as that caterpillar shed its skin, it was able to become something new, something that God intended it to be. That's the process of metamorphosis. That's the process of transformation. And that process that happens to a butterfly is the same process that God longs to happen in each of our lives. He longs to take what we are today and to transform us into what he created us ultimately to be. That's the beauty of transformation. That's the beauty of God actually reclaiming us for what he originally intended. And when you think about Jesus and when you think about his interactions all throughout the New Testament, he was constantly inviting people into this process. He was constantly inviting them into a transformational moment. And that's why I love reading the New Testament, because you see Jesus at work inviting people into this almost cocooning process. He's almost saying, I see you today as a caterpillar, but I know what you were intended for. You were intended for this butterfly. And I know that this is what you look like today, but this is what I see you as. This is what I know I created you to be. And one of my favorite interactions that Jesus has, one of these moments of transformation, is with a guy by the name of Zacchaeus. Probably most of us, when I say the word Zacchaeus, when I say the name Zacchaeus, we think of the song, right? You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man was he. You know, he climbed up in that sycamore tree. You know, and I mean, we probably, that's the first thing that we think about. And we're like, oh, you know, Jesus had some sympathy on the guy that was struggling with his height, you know. And so, you know, this is this story in the Bible, and our kids love to read about it. They love to hear about it. They love to sing the song. But it's so much more than just this story about a guy that climbed a tree. In fact, I'd love to read it for you real quick. And if you have a Bible, you can open up to Luke 19 and read along with me, or it's going to be up on the side screens. But it's this beautiful encounter of transformation. And it says this, that Jesus, he entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector, and he was very wealthy. But he wanted to see who Jesus was. But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead, and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. So when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once, and he welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this, and they began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner? But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I mean, can you just imagine that moment? Can you just imagine what it must have been like for Zacchaeus? I mean, he's hanging out in this sycamore tree. He's just hoping that he's going to get, you know, a fresh look at Jesus. He's just hoping that maybe he's going to, you know, get a glimpse of this guy that everybody's been talking about. And Jesus walks onto the scene, and he's starting to teach, and there's people all around. And he stops, and he looks up into the tree. He calls out Zacchaeus of all of the people there. And the amazing thing is Jesus knows about Zacchaeus, right? I mean, he knows what kind of life he's been living. He knows about his bank account. He knows about what he does for a living. And yet Jesus looks up into this tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to spend time with you. I want to go to your house. I mean, he's a little abrupt. He invites himself over for dinner, you know? I mean, it's like, geez, Lord, you know, like, come on. You could have been a little bit more cordial in here. And I mean, he says, I want to be with you. I want to come to your house. And Zacchaeus climbs down, and they spend time together. Zacchaeus is with Jesus. He walks into relationship with Jesus. And you can read the scriptures. You know, everybody started muttering, right? I mean, they know about Zacchaeus too. They know what he's up to. They know what his life is about. And they all start, you know, gossiping about, can you believe he went to the sinner's house? And while Zacchaeus is with Jesus, he experiences transformation. I mean, it says literally that he said that he would give away half of his income and he would pay back four times what he had cheated out of others. I mean, Zacchaeus goes all the way to the things that oftentimes we don't want to have transformed, and that's our finances. And the first thing he says, I can go for the jugular, Lord. We can go all the way down to my finances. I want to be transformed. Zacchaeus, what's so beautiful about this experience is that Jesus doesn't even invite him into it, does he? Zacchaeus has this moment where he decides, I am going to be transformed just from being with Jesus. Jesus doesn't say to him, okay, Zacchaeus, I came to your house because we need to have a talk. Get your checkbook out. Let's get your investments out. Let's talk about what you've been doing. I know what you've been up to. He doesn't do it. In fact, it's Zacchaeus that does it. Zacchaeus says, I want all of my life. I want all of who I am to be yielded before you, God, all the way down to the pennies that I have in the bank. I want it to be yielded before you. I want to be transformed. And it was from being with Jesus. And some of us, this is the invitation. This is the invitation that God is inviting us into this new year. A lot of us have plans and a lot of us have dreams, and probably many of us have had moments like what I talked about when we sit with our friends remembering Europa and these things that we hope are going to occur in our lives. But we know that those are just going to remain goals. They're just going to remain plans. They're just going to remain hopes unless we invite Jesus into it. And God did not call us. He did not call this year, this next year that we walk into of 2011, just to be about resolutions. I believe that he longs for it to be about transformation. I believe that he longs for us to not just set some goals. He longs for us to grow, to become more and more of the people that he created us to be. He doesn't want us to just be around Jesus, to play it safe, to come to church on Sunday, to sort of check the box, to maybe do the small group every once in a while, or to serve, you know, once a month and do the thing. He doesn't want us to just be around. He wants us to be in relationship with him, because he knows that it's in relationship where he can transform us into who he created us to be. He sees every single one of us in our caterpillar kind of state. And he knows that it's in the cocooning process that he can transform us into what he ultimately created us to be. And this can be not just a new year. You can also be a new you. You do not have to go into this new year with an old you. You can go into a new year as a new you. You and I can be transformed. This is the invitation that Jesus is regularly asking each of us to step into, to be transformed. And I was talking to Scott a little bit about this, and he said that you guys are, you're the type that you like to do the hard work. You like to do the homework. And so he told me to give it to you really hard, to give you really hard homework, to challenge you really, really hard. And so I have some homework for us, and it's going to require you to really think through this and to really listen and to really contemplate. Do you want 2011 to sort of just be just like what 2010 was? Or do you want to get to the end of this next year and have people come and look at you and say, same person, same name, same body, but everything about you is different? And for you to say, it's because I've been with Jesus. It's because I've been with Jesus. My hunch is that's your desire. That's my desire. I don't want a repeat of this last year, because that's an old year, right? I want a new year. I want new things to happen, because I know that this is what God created me for. We're drawn to the new, and God actually placed that desire inside of you. He placed the desire for transformation inside of your heart. And so I've got some homework for us, and I made it simple. It spells out the word transform so that you can remember it. But I have some homework for us. And I'd love for you to write these things down. And I'd love, even as you're writing them down, for you to maybe even pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes people will ask me, how do you know when God talks to you? That indigestion that you feel when somebody says something, you're like, oh, geez, that's the Holy Spirit, okay? That's how you know when God is talking to you. When you have that moment inside and you're like, ugh. Like, was that person reading my journal or was that person like reading my thoughts? That's the Holy Spirit saying to you, pay attention. So the first step for us is to take steps towards God. Take steps towards God. And some of you, that's exactly what you need to do this next year. You've sort of been in a standing still posture. You haven't been moving towards God and you haven't really been moving away from him. You've just sort of been standing still. And maybe this is the year you need to actually climb up into a tree. You need to intentionally move towards God. For some of us in this room, we need to recognize our true identity. We need to recognize our true identity. And we place our identity in a whole bunch of other things. You know, we identify ourselves as either, you know, husband, wife, mother, father, friend, my job, this is what I do. That's not your true identity. Your true identity is child of God. Child of God. In fact, what everybody was saying, you know, when Zacchaeus got down from that tree was, he's going to the sinner's house. And Zacchaeus recognized in that moment, I am a sinner in need of Jesus. He recognized his true identity. So maybe that's one of the steps you need to take. Maybe it has to do with allowing grace to have a seat at the table. Allowing grace to have a seat at the table. Maybe for you it has to do with nurturing your growth. And you know that there are some very significant things that God wants to grow inside of your life. And he continues to bring it up and it continues to surface. And you know that you need to nurture this growth in your life. Maybe it has to do with an addiction. Maybe it has to do with a habit. Something that you know needs to be nurtured into deeper levels of growth. Maybe it has to do with submitting to healthy authority. And you have gotten so far in life sort of playing by your own rules, being your own boss, setting control, and making sure that everything worked according to how you wanted it to be. And you've never really put yourself in the posture of submitting to healthy authority somewhere. Maybe because authority has hurt you or burnt you or there's been pain in the past and there's sort of this fear like, I don't want to go back into that. But maybe it's through the process of submitting to healthy authority that God wants to challenge you. It may be about forging some new patterns. For me last night, I was saying these and I was, you know, speaking them off and I had one of those moments, those indigestion moments like I just told you about, where I felt the Holy Spirit very clearly say to me, you're doing a great job with that microphone strapped to your head telling everybody to forge new patterns. How about you? I was like, oh, okay. And the Holy Spirit very clearly said to me, there are some broken patterns in your life right now, Jeannie. You know it. It's clear. You need to forge some new ones with me. And some of you are in that same space. You know it. It's clear. And you need to invite Jesus into it. Maybe it has to do with offering your whole self to God. And you've done a great job of sort of parceling yourself out, and you've sort of given over like your heart, you've given over your mind, you've given over your soul, but when it comes to your body, when it comes to your strength, you're like, nope, that's mine. I'm gonna let God have every other part of me, but this part of me he can't have. If he were to convict me about this, or if he were to challenge me about this, nope, not that part. And maybe this is a year where you offer all of yourself to God. Maybe this is a year to receive forgiveness. And I don't believe we can ever be free people if there's a blockage in the area of forgiveness. And you maybe need to receive some forgiveness from something that you've been holding on to for a long time. Maybe you need to offer some forgiveness to somebody, but forgiveness needs to enter into your life. And the last is to meditate on truth. And there's a whole bunch of things that run around your mind all the time, things that you worry about, things that are constantly you're mulling over, and those things aren't the things of truth. You're meditating, but you're meditating on your own thoughts, not the thoughts of God. And maybe this is the year where you need to actually determine and decide, not because of out of some obligation or some sort of like, you know, horrible judgment that you've put on yourself, like, I'm going to read this at 5 a.m. every single day, you know, and it's not freeing, but you need to read God's word in such a way where it brings freedom to your life and where it brings truth into your life. And you meditate on the goodness of God. And my hunch is that as you look through that list, as you look through those things, there's probably one or two things that you know you need to pay attention to. You need to listen to. I know that because I know there's some for me. And my hope and my prayer is that as we go into this new year and as we walk into being the people that God ultimately created us to be, that this won't be a year about resolutions, that this will be a year about transformation. That the entire Orchard community actually would be different as a result of a collective group of people saying, we are going to be serious about transformation. We're going to be serious about it, as serious as Zacchaeus was. Because just sitting around the table with Jesus, Zacchaeus was like, okay, Lord, here you go. Here's all of it. Here's all of it. Here's all of me. And some of you in this room, you've been holding out. And you've been holding back. And let me just tell you, the Lord wants to transform your life. He wants to transform my life. And sometimes we are the greatest obstacle of transformation actually happening. Sometimes you are the one that actually is most standing in the way of God transforming your life. And so the question that he has for you today, the question that he has for me on this brand new year, we're only one day in. Will you be a new you in this new year? The you that God created you to be. So let me pray for us, and we're going to spend a few moments just reflecting on this list for a moment, and I encourage you to invite Jesus to just speak to you and to let you know which one is it. Which one is it? And then we're going to spend some time worshiping. So let's pray together. God, I thank you so much. I'm so grateful, God, that you are not a God that just tells us to set goals and then you sit back on the sidelines and you watch us try to achieve those. I'm so grateful that you are a God that walks right up to us, invites us to come down from the tree, and you invite us to share a meal with you. And Jesus, I pray for my friends in this room this morning. I pray that you would allow them to be attentive to your voice. I pray that you would allow me to be attentive to your voice. And pray that you would do the loving work of drawing us closer to you, of challenging us. God, I'm so grateful that your scriptures say that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. So I pray that you would even kindly move some of us towards a posture of repentance in such a way that we can step into the process of transformation. Jesus, I pray blessings over this community. I pray blessings over this church. God, I pray that the greater Aurora area would look around over this next year and that they would constantly interact with the people from the Orchard Church and they would go, those people are different. There's something about them. There's something about their love and their generosity and their kindness. There's something about the way that they offer grace and forgiveness. God, I pray ripple effects over what you're doing here in this room today. God, I pray that that would transform not only the lives of the people sitting in this room, God, but I pray that it would transform people all around this area. God, we don't want to go into a new year with our old selves. We want to be transformed into our true selves, into the new people that you created us to be. And so, God, we know that that can only happen in relationship with you. So we pray that you would speak to us now. In the name of Jesus. Amen.